Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Let's study the serpent. Genesis chapter number 3, we see in this portion of Scripture the first appearance of Satan in the Bible, the first mention of him in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read just the first half of the chapter. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, let's study the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your help. We need your discernment, dear God. And Lord, we need your protection in our life. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would become more wise concerning the devil and his devices. And Lord, help us to, Lord, best equip ourselves every day, Lord, to be able to keep our eyes and our hearts strong with you, and to be able to see, have wisdom and discernment, to avoid the snares of Satan. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. A study of the serpent. This is the first appearance of the devil as far as chronologically in the Bible. We want to study this morning. We want to learn some things from this first appearance that will help us to better be prepared. The devil, by the way, is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. Anything that has to do with Satan, Satanism, the occult, let me tell you something, no matter how innocent it may seem, no matter how innocent it may look, parents, be careful. Monitor the cartoons that your young people are watching and listening to. Well, preacher, that's just make-believe. We're exposing our young people to the occult. We're exposing them to magic. We're exposing them to a lot of things that they shouldn't be messing with, shouldn't be involved with. And some of them are being camouflaged with cuteness. And so be aware, be on top of it. Because we don't want to open satanic doors into the lives of our family and into the hearts of our children. I want to expose the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And you know what? We can study the Bible and find out how the devil operates. And you would think that this first appearance and what he did there to trick Eve, he would have come up with more plans. He would come up with better things. But you know what? I don't think he's had to change much because it keeps working. And sometimes it's because we are ignorant of his devices. The devil is our enemy. In Genesis chapter 3, we see some of the tricks he used on Eve to get her to disobey God. We need to study this so that we know how he plays his games. And we won't fall for the same tricks that Eve fell for in this chapter. Real quickly this morning, I want to give you four things we need to know about the devil out of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Number one, the devil's sneaky. He's sneaky. Genesis 3, 1, we read, now the serpent was more subtile. Notice that word, S-U-B-T-I-L, than any beast of the field. That word subtile means he was crafty, sneaky, deceitful. He will try to sneak up on you and he'll try to trick you. Have you ever had somebody play a trick on you? I mean, they caught you, they got you. You know how you feel afterwards when they did that to you? In Bible college one day, we were in a class, and there was and this happened a lot in Bible college. I'll just tell you, it happened a lot in Bible college. Guys fell asleep in class a lot in Bible college. Now, I don't think it was because, for the most part, they were lazy. There was a lot of guys working really hard, some of them 40, 50 hours weeks, and still going to class full time. And man, sometimes you get into class, and I've been there where it's just like you are exhausted. You're trying to stay with the teacher, but you are so tired. And so there was a guy that was a friend of mine that kept falling asleep. And man, he fell asleep in class, fell asleep in class. I had another guy that was a friend of mine that decided to play a trick on him. And so he waited till the guy fell asleep. The professor was up there teaching, and the professor turned around to write something on the board. And during that moment of quiet, the one guy's asleep. The guy on the other side of him is going to play a trick on him. So he leans over, slaps him real hard on the thigh. He says, "Stand up and pray. He called for you to stand up and pray." The guy jumps up. "Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for all that we've learned today." Right in the middle of the lecture. Okay, that was deceitful. That was sneaky. All right. Kind of funny, but it was still sneaky. And that's what the devil does, only the devil's not playing a trick on you because he's your friend. He's playing a trick on you because he's trying to destroy your life. You got to be careful. He's the master of disguise. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And you see in this story, the devil does not appear in his satanic evilness. What he does is he takes the form of a serpent. At this point in time, the serpent was a beautiful animal. We see afterwards that the Lord cursed him. We see in verse number 14 that God from that day forward says, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." But folks, that was afterwards. Most believe that a serpent at this time was one of the most beautiful animals in all of God's creation. So a lot of times the devil will come to you in disguise, young people. Sometimes they're disguised as someone who's pretending to be your friend. Sometimes, like I said, parents, we got to stay up on this stuff. Sometimes satanic messages are disguised in innocency or seemingly innocency. Listen, I don't go off on tangents, but I'm going to say this, folks, because this company has a reputation for what I'm talking about. Just stay away from Disney. Just stay away from anything that Disney produces. If you think Disney is all innocence and fun and that there aren't messages that... I mean, by the way, stop and think about a lot of the plots. Okay? Just stop and think about the plots, okay? All right, let me just kind of wake you up a little bit here. Okay? You got that movie that came out years ago, The Little Mermaid. And oh, that's just so cute, preacher. It's just a cute little show. And oh, it's about a young lady that lives down with people that are like her. And her father says, "You need to stay here." But you know what? She doesn't want to stay there. She wants to go to hang out with people that's not like her. Are you listening, Christians? And by the end of the movie, by the way, she does it. And by the end of the movie, she's right. She lives happily ever after, and Daddy was all wrong. How's that help us, Christians? How's that help us? And yet we've watched show after show after show that's built these images and these ideas into the life of our young people to the point where they're acting these things out in real life. They're not listening to their parents. And by the way, you need to listen to your parents. And it doesn't end up happily ever after. If you leave the safety of the church and the safety of the Christian life and go out and decide that you're going to be something utterly different. But isn't it interesting how sneaky the devil is? Satan came to Eve pretending to be her friend, but he was not her friend. Satan was there to trick her into disobeying God. He came as an angel of light, but he was the prince of darkness. Number one, the devil's sneaky. Number two, the devil can show up anywhere. Anywhere. I think it warrants us noticing where this temptation takes place. This story teaches us the devil came to Eve to tempt her. Where? Where, church? In the Garden of Eden. I mean, this is the place we call paradise. A wonderful place that God had made for Adam and Eve to live. I mean, Genesis 2:8, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put man whom he had formed. This was the place where God came down and walked and talked with them and met with them. This was a perfect place. It was God's will for their life. And Eve was in a, listen, she was in a good place. She was in God's will for her life. She was right where God commanded her to be. Yet, guess what happened? Here comes the devil. Now, if we're not careful, we might get the idea that they're safe places. Better listen to me, church. If we're not careful, we might think the devil only tempts people when they're in the taverns and the nightclubs. But the devil shows up in the church house. I preached a message. I won't re-preach it this morning, but I preached a message entitled "The Day the Devil Showed Up to Church" out of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus was preaching in Capernaum. And right in the middle of the service, a man possessed with the devil gets up and starts disrupting the service. And you know what? Jesus didn't get mad at the man. He got mad at the devil. And by the time he got to the end of the story, he commanded the devil out, and that man became a Christian. But I'm just telling you, the devil likes to show up. See, folks, I don't think he's near as busy on Saturday night as he is on Sunday morning. Why wouldn't he be here? Hey, young person, let me ask you this. Is your mind already 1,000 miles away? Have you had trouble since you sat down really concentrating and listening? I wonder who's trying to hinder you from hearing what I'm saying this morning. I think that there ought, if we had this opportunity, we ought to take it. We don't have this opportunity, but I thought to myself, if one time for 10 seconds, God would help us by allowing us to see the invisible creation. You know, remember when Elisha was praying and you know what? He asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant, and he looked around, and there were chariots of fire round about. And let me say this, folks. There's a visible creation, but there's an invisible creation. I think, Church of Jesus Christ, listen, members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think if for 10 seconds we could see what's going on right now and the attacks that the devil's putting on to people right now in the midst of the preaching of God's Word, I'd never, ever have to ask you to pray again during a service. When we say, let's pray a hedge of protection, we say that on purpose. I mean, folks, there's a reason that some of us come early on Sunday morning. There's a reason that we're visiting classrooms and praying over classrooms and going into places where children are going to gather and asking God's protection and calling down protection from God. Listen, supernatural warfare happens here every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the devil didn't want you here. And he's fighting to make sure that you don't hear what you need to hear. And if you're lost, he's fighting hard to try to get you to walk out of that door still on your way to hell, not knowing Jesus as your Savior. We have to understand the devil, you know what? He can show up anywhere. We got to be careful. Be careful. The devil shows up at church. The devil can tempt you. Hey, he's in the Christian school. He can tempt you right there in the Christian school. One of the things I've got to tell our young people, they're going to Bible college. Hey, you're not going to heaven. Okay? You know what? The temptation is, and you can fall into the wrong crowd just as much in Bible college as you could here at home. You've got to be careful. The devil will go. Why wouldn't the devil work hard at a Bible college to try to knock those kids out? And so what you need to understand is the devil's everywhere. But listen, I want to encourage you, so is God. So is God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now that's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Why, preacher? Because he could be anywhere. He could be he's in Sunday school classes. He's in master's class. He'll come right into the midst of a good Christian home. Don't let your guard down. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I was hunting. Years ago, I was hunting, deer hunting. And I was out. And I like getting into my stand early. If I'm going to hunt, and I'm going to hunt in the morning, I'm going to be in my stand an hour before the first light ever comes. If I'm not, then I'm running late, and I might as well not go. That's just what I've learned works. So when I go hunting in the morning, I go super early. And I was hunting a piece of farm ground that I'd gotten permission near Center Point. And folks, I didn't realize at that point and that time how close this property was to this feline rescue center. And so I am walking to my stand. In the dark, okay? I've got a little flashlight attached to my cap on my, and I just a small light, just enough to see the next few steps. I'm walking about 3/4 of a mile from my truck through the woods to where my stand is, and I get over halfway there, and all of a sudden, I hear off in the distance the roaring of a lion. I'm going to tell you something. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. I froze. I thought to myself, do I just try to get to the stand and get up? Do I run like a little girl screaming back to the truck? You know, do I just fall down in a fetal position and pray? I mean, until you've been out there in that situation, I'm telling you, all kinds of things go through your mind. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I was going to go deer hunting. That's what if you're a real deer hunter, you're going to your stand, you know. I mean, if you get eat by a lion, that's just part of it. Amen. So I got to my stand, but I'm going to tell you what, the rest of the trip of my stand was taken very slowly, without making any noise, and I would stop regularly and look and watch and listen, and that's how you better be living your Christian life. Okay? If I dismiss, and I've said this before, but if I said, right at the end of the service, if I said, all you young people, everybody in this auditorium, if I said, folks, listen to me, quick announcement before we dismiss you out to your cars and to the buses. A lion has escaped. It was seen just real near our property. As you're going to your cars, please be careful. Let's pray. And I'm telling you what, if that was a true story, you'd walk out that door and everybody's head would be on a swivel. You'd be seeing how far the bus was. You'd talk your little sister or brother into going out. Why don't you go to the bus first, all right? Well, why? Just go. You're okay. You're fine. You know? So, there you go. Hey, folks, listen to me. We better not underestimate the enemy. If he is what the Bible says he is, if he is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, we better be sober. We better be vigilant. Young people, listen to me. Be careful, be careful, be careful, because every day of your life, the devil's trying to lay some trap for you. And you know what? He's trying to get you into temptation, and he's trying to destroy your life. Be careful. Number three, the devil is a liar. That's what we learn from this story. Look what he says in verse number 4 and 5. You talk about a liar. He says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, wait a minute. God said, if you eat the fruit in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Okay, so God says you shall die. The devil says you shall not die. Well, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Well, I know this from what the Bible says. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And you know what? God can't lie. He cannot lie. So if the God's saying this and the devil's saying the opposite, you can be sure who's lying. The devil is he's a liar. Don't trust him. Don't trust what he says. Curtis Hudson used to say this, the devil is an artist. He can paint sin in very attractive colors. You need to be careful because the devil will tell you a lie. Stories told about a man named Andy. Andy, who lived in a small town. Everything the man said was a lie. I mean, he had that reputation. His wife got tired of all his lies and told him one day, Andy, everybody in town says you are a liar. And everybody in town can tell how and when you are lying. And Andy said, how can everyone in town tell whether or not I'm lying? She said, Andy, they tell me to watch your lips. If your lips are moving, you're lying. Well, let me tell you something about the devil. If his lips are moving, he's lying, all right? Don't believe what the devil said. Young people, the devil will lie to you about cigarettes. He'll tell you that they're fine. It won't hurt you to smoke, but he's a liar. And he'll lie to you about drugs. Tell you there's nothing wrong with them. He's a liar. He'll lie to you about liquor. He'll lie to you about disobeying your parents. That won't hurt anything. They don't know what they're talking about. He's a liar. The devil will tell you it won't hurt to miss church. But he's a liar. The devil lied to Eve, and he'll lie to us. Let me give you the last thing, number 4. The devil. You know what we learn about in this story about the devil? One of these days he's going to be destroyed. Look what God set straight when he came down at the end of this story in verse 14 and 15. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat with all thou, the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. By the way, that's the first prophecy in the Bible of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He was saying, he wasn't talking about a snake, and he wasn't talking about a man stepping on the head of a snake. He was talking about the Lord Jesus would one day come down and crush the devil and destroy the devil. Young people, listen to me. I've read the end of the book. I know how the story ends. And you know what? The devil does not win. In this verse, we see that judgment's coming upon the serpent. Future judgment promised to the devil. God promised that Christ would someday come with his foot crush the head of that old serpent, the devil. Jesus is going to win. The devil's going to lose. You say, preacher, does the Bible show us that? Yep, Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, let me say this again. If you listen to Jesus and you'll follow Jesus, you're on the winning side. If you follow the devil, you're following somebody that hates you and his whole purpose in life is to destroy you. And yet, if you follow Jesus Christ, you're following somebody that loves you and his whole desire in life is to bless you. You know what? Why in the world would we be so foolish as to listen to the devil and follow the devil? Remember, be careful. He's sneaky. Be careful. He can show up anywhere. Be careful. Don't believe what he says. He's a liar. If you stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a day where we see the devil lose and Jesus will win. Don't get discouraged, church. Don't get discouraged. I know you watch the news and I know you see what's going on in our country and a lot of times it doesn't seem like we're on the winning side. But we are. We're on the winning side. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this story in the Bible. We find early on in the book of Genesis and these truths concerning our enemy, the devil. Now, I pray every single young person would be careful and cautious, Lord, please. Let's not underestimate our enemy. Let's stay in the Bible. Let's stay on our knees. Let's stay close to God. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear Lord, the young people in this room, that they'll grow up and serve God with all of their hearts. And Lord, of course, our prayer, the prayer that we've prayed, the thing that we've desired the most this week as we look forward to Sunday, and here it is. Lord, we pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, today would be the day they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's someone here and they've been burdened down by sin and lied to by the devil, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin. And Lord, also teach them of a Savior that loves them and died for them and wants to forgive them of their sins. Write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Begin construction on a mansion in heaven. Lord, salvation brings so many wonderful things. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating the devil and defeating death by your death and resurrection. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior today, they would be saved.